C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, mi maradare. Figli mia, putterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Se te non ne abiscia ola, i te va, i te viene sempre a baccalare del mare bene. Se ci picchia quando si è baccalare, figli mia.
Oh mamma, taradara, taradara. Oh mamma, zoom zoom bacala. Hey, this is Gerald Celente and Trends This Week. Thanks for tuning in. And again, wow, a week full of trends. You know, it's something when you think about it. Beginning in grammar school, they teach you about history. You used to have a thing called current events. I don't know if they still have that anymore. But they never teach you about trends, the current events forming future trends. And then you go to high school. Yeah, plenty of history courses out there. But nothing about trends, how the events of today are shaping tomorrow. We're all doing in life what we're doing because of decisions we've made. And then there are the wild cards. That's why nobody can predict the future. But you can see the face of it. But they don't teach that in high school. Trends are off limit. Same thing in college. Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Oxford, Cambridge, Stanford. Not one trend forecasting course. We're not going to look ahead, but we're going to give you a degree in history and make sure you memorize all those dates. How many people have degrees in history? How many history courses are taught? How many trend forecasting courses are taught? How about none? They're afraid of it. They're afraid to look ahead. They're afraid to see how their actions result in consequences that are both destructive, deadly, demoralizing, and degrading. All you have to do is look at the migrant crisis or the refugee crisis, more aptly called, in what's going on in Europe. And of course, in Austria, over this weekend, that new party that just got elected that I talked about in Trends This News, in Trends This Week, just last week, the Freedom Party. Now they passed a law where they're not going to be taking in any refugees at all. But no one talks about how the refugees got there and why they got there. They just had a new party that just gained strength in Germany. And they just had a big meeting and they passed a resolution where they don't want to hear, you know, the prayers going out from minarets being broadcast in Germany. They want to hold on to their nationality. By the way, they had a referendum in Switzerland with the same thing. The people voting in Switzerland, direct democracy, and the same thing that they voted for. You know, you're welcome to practice what you like, but we don't want to hear it. So the people voted against it, the announcing of prayers at different times of the day. But no one, again, is talking about the current events forming these future trends on why so many refugees are fleeing countries. Couldn't be because of the destruction of them now. And NATO and America and its coalition of the killing that have killed over 1 million people in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Over 350,000 dead in Syria thanks to a war launched with Turkey and Saudi Arabia and Qatar, United Arab Emirates, the Arab League, and pushed from behind by the United States and France and England. I wonder why people are leaving their homes. But those are the current events forming future trends. And as we look about the trends that are happening this week, I mean, they're really big ones. Of course, now it's evident that Donald Trump, most likely evident that he will be the Republican presidential nominee. And as I mentioned on Trends This Week last week, although we are forecasting a Clinton-Sanders ticket, and again, Sanders won yesterday in Indiana. He won the primary, but he only got six more delegates than Hillary Clinton did, and she's way ahead in the delegate race. So while he won the race, he'll most likely lose the nomination. So we see a Clinton-Sanders ticket, and we had believed that one time, because of Donald Trump's trumpeting out against the Hillary Clinton and his misogynist label that's so attached to him, that he wouldn't have a chance. But you know, we're revisiting that, and we're writing about it in detail in our new Trends Journal that will be out next week. And there's a shocking forecast in there, and I'll tell you more about it next week. Well, if you subscribe to the Trends Journal, of course, you'll get it before then. But when I come back in Trends This Week, next week, we will have our forecast, and it's going to be something that very few people are talking about. So as we look at the politics, and with Trump winning and the big upset in the Republican Party, what's really important to do is to look at this. And this is why we have said from the very beginning, when Trump announced he was going to run, that he would be most likely the Republican nominee. We based it on his performance in the first debate when he went up to Jeb Bush. Hey, remember Bush? Boy, nobody talks about him anymore, huh? Yeah, Bush turned into a dead weed. Not the good kind. And just evaporated off the stage. And that's what Trump did to him. Trump went up and humiliated him. Yeah, you're a nice guy, but you know, there's not much behind you. No substance. So when we saw him do that, knock off the top guy, and saw the way he was running this as a true reality show champion that he is, we knew that Trump would get the nominee. But this is very important, because the media kept saying the Republican establishment would not allow it to happen. Who is the Republican establishment? Look at the faces and listen to the names. Mitch McConnell. See what this cat looks like? Lindsey Graham. What, are you kidding me? John Insane McCain. And nobody other than attitude and madness. Paul Ryan. I think that guy used to play Little Eddie Munster in the Munsters. And nothing. Nothing of a boy. Go up and down the list. There's nobody there. Who did he run against? Ted Cruz? You heard that guy Boehner or Boner, whatever his name was, the former Republican Speaker of the House, saying that he compared Cruz to Lucifer in the flesh and how everybody hated him. He said he was the worst SOB he's ever worked with. And he's a Republican. So who did he run against? He ran against a bunch of nobodies. Carson? The guy, you know, he says something and you wonder what did he say? And he always said it the same way. But the importance of this is there's no one there. And it's the same thing in the Democratic Party. There's no one there. It's the Wizard of Oz. An old man behind the curtain with a dog pulling levers. Look at the faces. Look at the names. Who do they have? Biden? Big mouth Biden? Blowhard Biden? Pelosi? Reed? Look at the clowns. Feinstein? Schumer? Little Chucky Schumer. What a disgrace of human beings. Nobody there. The point being, it's an open field. And when you got a guy like Trump leading the race, you know how wide open it is. And all it's going to do to take the change is for people to unite around a common cause. There's nothing there. The greatest thing about Trump is that he proved it. There's time for a new way, a new party, a party based on morality and peace. And it can happen. Because I always say that wonderful quote by Samuel Adams, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. And the time is now. I want to read to you from yesterday's New York Times. And this is a story on the trail, a little tiny little story down at the bottom of the page over here, way back. And it has about Trump. On foreign policy, Trump says he bests, quote, virtually entire field and experience. He always bests everybody. Nobody treats women's better than I do, he says. He always blabs out his mouth that he's the best of everything. A guy born on third base and thought he had a home run. His old man left him, and you can go to Wikipedia, it's there, between $250 to $400 million to four kids. Who gets a start like that? An arrogant guy. But anyway, I want to read you this because this is what we're facing. And again, you know my campaign slogan for 2016. Trump or Clinton, Hitler or Hitlery. Because boy, does she have a ton of blood on her hands between her and her husband. Gaddafi has to go. Assad has to go. Putin's a Hitler. Hey, Hitlery said that, so I guess it's true. Anyway, this is again from the New York Times, talking about he's the best person. Now remember, he's talking about foreign policy. Okay, so what's foreign policy? Usually has to do with geopolitics. But no, this is the way Trump looks at it. Quote, I do deal with leaders around the world. Okay. Let's make a deal. That's one deal. Remember, these are five little short sentences here in this little piece here. Five or six. I've built a great company and I deal around. Right now, we have hundreds of deals being negotiated over the world by my company. Okay. I deal with leaders, that's one deal. I deal around, he has a great company, that's two deals. Right now we have hundreds of deals, that's three deals in two sentences. I deal with presidents, and I deal with prime ministers. Well, one, two, three, four, five. Five deals. Actually, it's two sentences. I deal with everybody. Another deal. Let's make a deal. Remember, he's talking about foreign policy. The reason he keeps repeating deal, 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 and keeps repeating himself, it's like saying duh, 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 duh. I probably have more experience than virtually anybody looking at this office, and I make money. Hey, wait a minute. You're talking about foreign policy. So you had five deals, and now you're into money. I built a tremendous company and made a lot of money. I made a lot of money doing it. Huh. Three monies, two sentences. I've made a fortune, that's money, going out of this country. I've made tremendous amounts of money dealing outside this country. I'm not making this up. So he keeps repeating the same words over and over again. I've made a fortune going out of this country. I've made tremendous amounts of money dealing outside this country. So he keeps repeating, dealing. What does this have to do with foreign policy? We don't need a deal maker or a businessman. We don't need politicians, as I see it. You know the motto of the Trends Journal and the Trends Research Institute, think for yourself. I'm not preaching on what you should believe. We need a statesman, or stateswomen. We need philosophers, not politicians and businessmen and lawyers. I have enough. All they have is a track record of failure. Statesmen, not deal makers or money men. Yep, so that's on the presidential reality show. And as I said, we're going to start seeing Sanders, I believe, he's going to stay in the race to keep his name out there. And I think that he's going to be the choice for Hillary Clinton because he'll bring in those people that believe his lines of, I'm going to give you free education. I'm going to give you free jobs. I'm going to give you free health care. Wall Street's going to pay for it. And he has some good things. But again, when it comes to, you know, my big passion is peace. We launched Occupy Peace here in Colonial Kingston this past September 20th. Bring home the troops, secure the homeland, put the troops to work, close the bases overseas, put the troops to work rebuilding our third world infrastructure. We spent more money rebuilding Afghanistan when accounted for inflation than the United States spent on the Marshall Plan after World War II. Forced Congress to vote to go to war and not give the power to the president. And Congress has not voted to go to war since World War II. And to put referendums on each state ballot that will tell Congress how to vote. So peace is important to me. So when I listen to Bernie Sanders, he's a piece of BS. Again, by the deeds you shall know them. He voted Bill Clinton's wars against Iraq, beginning when he was Congressman Sanders, bombing Baghdad as soon as Clinton got into office. No fly zones. I've talked about this. And the sanctions that killed over 500,000 Iraqi children. He supported the Kosovo War. He supported the Afghan War. He supports Obama's Syria mission, co-sponsored the resolution that became the UN resolution for no-fly zone over Libya, and that Gaddafi has to stand down, and supported funding of military budgets throughout his career. Oh, and he has those F-35s he wants to bring in to the Burlington Airport in Vermont. Yeah, the wonderful F-35s. The trillion-dollar boondoggle. So anyway, he suckers in the liberals like Obama did. So we believe it's going to be a Clinton Sanders. But our forecast has changed. It's a dramatic one, and you read about it in the Trends Journal. You know, moving on to the markets, we saw the beginning of the year open up. It was the worst opening of the Dow Jones Industrial Average in the history of the United States. And for 2 months, it was really shaky out there. And now that negative vibe is reverberating around the globe. And it's important to understand what's happened. You know, there's a new poll out among millennials that shows that they oppose capitalism. And they're more in favor of socialism. And again, number of issues regarding this have to do with Bernie Sanders' popularity, particularly at a time when millennials can't afford to buy homes, can't afford to leave the house, still living with mom and pop. So when you're looking at the numbers and looking at the economy and seeing where it's going, what happened is that the markets began to swoon in January, right into February. But then the whole game changed. And again, when you look at the economic fundamentals of the economy, they're not sound. In the United States, we saw the GDP increase a measly 0.5% in the first quarter. We're looking at stagnant wages. We're looking at earnings down, major corporations, S&P 500, down 8%. So that's not growth. So what's going on? As I said, going back to the millennials, the new poll shows they're in favor of socialism and not capitalism. The point that I'm making is this is not capitalism. In capitalism, there's no such thing as too big to fail. It's anathema to capitalism. Anathema meaning that in capitalism, there's no too bigs or too small to fails. You rise and fall on your own merit. This is bankism. It's fascism. You listen to the words, listen to the deeds, listen to the look at the actions. So what the markets got re-propped up with was more of this negative and zero interest rate policies, which are schemes undreamed of in the history of the world. They'd never existed before. There's never been such a thing as negative bond yields, where you buy, for example, a 10-year bond, and then when you cash it in 10 years later, you get back less than you bought it for? You can't make this stuff up. But it's happening. Matter of fact, when you look at the real numbers, they're actually quite shocking. 40%, remember, 40% of the global economy right now, it's operating in a negative and 0 to 1% interest rate environment. All they're doing is everything they can do to pump up the system. So when millennials talk about they don't like capitalism and they'd rather have socialism, this is not capitalism. Let's stop calling it that. Mussolini called it fascism, the merger of state and corporate powers. Remember, we bailed out of AIG and all these other companies, General Electric and auto industry and on, giving them bailout money. So that's not capitalism. So when we're looking at the markets now, they're going back into retreat. After beginning the year in its worst start, the global equities swooned along with the Dow. Then they got pumped back up. How come? We'll go back again. Current events form future trends. When you look at the current events, as the markets were crashing in January, the Bank of Japan announced a negative interest rate policy, unheard of. Kuroda, the governor of the Bank of Japan, another liar, lying little freak. I'm not calling him names, telling you his actions. He's lied before and he lied again when he left Japan after telling the Japanese parliament that he was not going to go into negative interest rates, then went to the Davos meeting in January. And you remember at the Davos meeting, I've talked about this, Ray Dalio, the head of Bridgewater Associates, not the largest hedge fund in the world, called for more stimulus. And of course, all the big power players are at Davos. Kuroda was one of them. So he comes back from Davos and he goes into negative interest rates. That was in January. Boosted the markets. Then you had Mario Draghi, who was also at Davos. And at Davos, he pledged that in March, he would do what he can for more stimulus. The European Central Bank. He's the head of the European Central Bank, former head of the Goldman Sachs gang's European division before going to the European Central Bank. Again, it's all one club. I mean, like here in the United States, who are the liars, cowards, freaks, and fools that head of the U.S. Treasury? Oh, it was Robert Rubin under Bill Clinton, the guy that deregulated the Glass-Steagall Act and made it possible for all these derivatives and other dirty deals to happen. Where did he come from? Oh, Goldman Sachs. Who's the guy that gave us Too Big to Fail? Henry Paulson, as U.S. Treasury Secretary under Bush. Where did he come from? Goldman Sachs. Who's the Prime Minister of Australia? Turnbull. Or Bull S. Where did he come from? Oh, Goldman Sachs. Who's the head of the Bank of England? Mark Carney. Where did he come from? Goldman Sachs. You go up and down the list. It's bankism. Going back to Draghi, he lets Davos promise to re-stimulate the European economy, went deeper into negative interest rates, and increased the amount of stimulus from 60 billion euros a month in corporate, government, buying government bonds, to 80 billion euros to also include buying corporate bonds, private debt, merger of state and corporate powers. That boosted the markets. And then here in the States, of course, they were going to raise interest rates four times, remember, in 2016. Here we are, Mayday, Mayday, they haven't raised them at all. Yep, did it, they raised them a measly 25 basis points back in December. They're not raising them because the equity markets are teetering on panic and crash. Look what's going on in China. I talked about this last week, the crisis going on and the debt levels that they have. According to the IMF, for example, you know, they're saying that some $1.3 trillion in Chinese corporate debt is in high risk. And over the last few weeks, from the Chinese largest banks lowering their reserve requirement ratios, the amount of cash they're required to keep aside to cover bad debts, from lowering that number, from the Chinese banks dumping in hundreds of billions of yuan into the local economies to keep them going, putting out more loans, to the, just yesterday, the People's Bank of China announced it would shove more money into the market to ease what they call the liquidity strain by continuing to pump hundreds of billions of yuan in reverse repurchase agreements. They call reverse repos to purchase securities from these debt-burdened banks. So it's a Ponzi scheme. And I say they should stop using the name Ponzi. As an Italian, I'm tired of just Ponzi being out there. Let's call it a red Ponzi scheme. Why not? But anyway, you look at the facts. China is in a slowdown. Again, just yesterday, the Chinese Caixin Manufacturing PMI index came in at 49.4. It has to come in over 50 to show growth. So it came in at 49.4 in April. That's down from 49.7 in March. And it's the 14th straight month the PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index, remained in contraction territory. This is despite pumping in trillions and trillions of dollars, yuan, whatever you want to call them, into the system. So now you're looking at equity markets around the world really, really in trouble. You can see it. Right now, you know, we're seeing the Dow's down 100, over 100 points. And you know us, we don't give trend, we don't give financial advice, but I mentioned all this money pumping schemes. We remain bullish on gold, although gold is down right now about $9 to $1,282. Remember last week when I was on, it was at $1,250 an ounce. So, and gold, by the way, hit a 15-month high just a few days ago, briefly broke over $1,300 an ounce. And silver's moving up smartly as well, although they're down a bit today. So we're looking around the world, whether it's in Asia, we saw the Nikkei index, the Japanese markets, and they're on vacation now. They're just opening, I think they traded on Thursday, closed on Friday. They traded on, I believe, either Monday, and they closed Tuesday. They'll be trading on and off. But in those 2 days that they were open, the Nikkei index crashed over 6%, 6.5%. And you go across the globe. In Europe, markets today closed down over 1%. There's panic hitting the streets. These bailout schemes are not working. The facts are before us. And that's why, again, I do not give financial advice. We are trend forecasters. That's why we remain bullish on gold. But, again, we only give forecasts. We don't tell you what to do. But when you pick up the Wall Street Journal, they tell you what to do. Here's the headline. Don't bet on gold rally to last. This is by Stephen Rusolillo. Gold investors should enjoy the party while they can. The good times are probably coming to an end. Goes on. The problem is these theories about gold thriving in this geopolitical and economic instability, safe haven asset. The problem is these theories don't take into account a fundamental analysis of gold's intrinsic value. It doesn't really have any. Could you imagine making such a moronic statement that gold has no intrinsic value and get away with it? Gold's been around since the beginning of time. And not too long ago, but maybe this guy can't look back that far. There used to be a thing called the gold standard for most of history, modern history. Matter of fact, it was Tricky Dick Nixon. Basically took us off the gold standard in 1971 as the United States began the great decline after waging the Vietnam War and bringing the country into a spiral of debt. So they took the peg off. This is from David Stockman. And this is Ronald Reagan's former budget director. And I read his stuff a lot. This guy really, you know, when it comes to numbers and facts and figures, he's right out there on the top. Quote, linchpin of this virtuous cycle, of course, was common global money, talking about gold. That is, currencies that had a constant weight in gold and which, accordingly, were convertible at fixed rates over long stretches of time. English investors and insurance companies, for example, invested in sterling-dominated bonds issued by foreign borrowers because they knew the bonds were as good as gold and that their only real risk was borrower defaults on interest or principal. Today's world of printing press money has turned the logic of gold standard capitalism upside down. And that's exactly what this clown is doing, this Stephen Russolillo. By making such an ignorant statement that gold has no intrinsic value. And he continues, but unlike financial assets, such as stocks, bonds, real estate, and others, gold doesn't generate any income. Ah, like bonds. Hey, got some. I just talked about negative yields on bonds. How about that for generating income? These are prostitutes. I'm reading this because the financial media does not want people to invest in gold. They want to keep the Ponzi scheme going. Turn on CNBC. Turn on Bloomberg. One little clown after another that works for a financial group, hedge fund, private equity group, or bank. No outside people. Maybe one or two a month. All selling the big lie of digital money backed by nothing and printed on nothing. And negative interest rates. And you get a clown like this telling you, quote, don't bet on gold rally to last. That's right. I'll tell you what to think, he says. It gets better. Valuing gold is virtually impossible. And he goes on to quote this guy. It looks overextended, he says, as Mike Dragostis, a TD of TD Securities puts it. Well, hey, if Mike said it and he's from TD Securities, let's see what he has to BS about. Bullish exchange-traded fund inflows and Cinguain net speculative positioning have reached extreme levels. Quote, those historically have been contrarian signals. Gold is now facing near-term correction risk, he says. And the turbulent times that helped push gold higher at the beginning of the year have largely dissipated. Financial markets have calmed. Economic data have been better. And overseas action has steadied. Huh. When did he write this? Oh, exactly 1 month ago, April 4th. It should have been April 1st, April Fool's Day. They don't want you to buy gold. They want you to keep this belief in this scam of central bankism, of criminal activity, robbing the people of any methods of saving money other than, like, little boys like Stephen over here, Russolillo, saying that gold has no intrinsic value, such as stocks and bonds. Yeah, go into stocks and bonds. Speculate. Oh, yeah, buy one of them programs that will teach you high frequency trading. You won't lose. Become a day trader. You'll make millions. You can retire. Rather than putting your money in a bank and getting interest rates on it, that used to allow people to, I hate to say this word, retire. That's right. As David Stockman just wrote in a recent piece, if you have $200,000 today in the bank, you know, buys you a cup of cappuccino at Starbucks on interest that day, you get nothing. The central bank war on savers is rooted in a monumental case of a big lie, he writes. Here is what a retired worker who managed to save $5,000 per year over a 40-year lifetime of toil and sweat in a steel factory now earns in daily interest on a bank CD, to wit, a single cup of cappuccino. Yet, the central bankers claim they have absolutely nothing to do with this flaming economic injustice. That's right. A return that amounts to one Starbucks cappuccino per day on $200,000 nest egg is purportedly not the result of massive central bank intrusion in financial markets and pegging interest rates at the zero bound. It's owing to a global savings glut and low economic growth. And we have people like Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank, telling us that we should invest in stocks as well, and criticizes, actually have come out and criticized, particularly the Germans, for saving too much money and not spending. This is a sickness. And when you look at these clowns, you see sickness in their face, evil in their eyes. They're central bankers. They're money junkies, robbing the people of their savings. This is a war against the little people, because all that cheap money is done is allowed stock buybacks in the terms of $60 billion a month, because they're borrowing money for nothing, and that's what's boosted the equity markets. And, of course, merger and acquisition activity. Again, the bigs getting bigger by borrowing more and buying more. Consolidation. One company being bought up after another, cutting staff, slashing jobs, just to increase the bottom line. Draghi has actually come out and said is blaming people saving too much money, and that negative interest rates and zero interest rate policy that doesn't allow them to save is better for the economy. It's a sickness. And the sickness is spreading. The new abnormal. Could you imagine writing an article like this? Don't bet on gold rally to last. Okay, if you say so, I'll be an obedient little boy. Whatever you say. See, here's our forecast. Gold has to go well over $1,300, hit $1,400 an ounce. Once it passes $1,400 an ounce, we are saying it's going to be the beginning of the new gold bull run. And BS from people like him will be proved wrong. It's a big lie. Every one of these people you see on the prostitute media are always pumping markets, equities, and real estate. And as we're looking at real estate, by the way, the top has peaked around the country. The facts are out there. stuff selling over $1 million is way down now. Places particularly like Miami, New York, San Francisco, L.A., from London to Singapore. The markets are peaking. And as I said, although gold is having a little downdraft today, it's $30 higher than when I spoke to you last week. And the other one is when you look at the rigged markets, and by the way, the European Central Bank just came out with a study a couple of days ago that doesn't make the news. I mean, still talking about prints. About how when government data comes out 30 minutes before it's officially released, they've shown that big trades are being made in a number of areas relative to the release of the information, whether it's negative or positive, playing in the direction of where the data is going. So in other words, the big guys are getting the information before it gets released to the general public, and they're betting on the directions before they come out and winning. So it's a rigged game. It has nothing to do with true price discovery. Again, you look at the earnings down 8%, and markets are going up. What a joke. Wages stagnant and declining. Manufacturing declining. Retail sales stagnant. Oh, but I shouldn't say that. Those are only facts. And our liar in chief, the greatest fraud that America's ever seen, Barack Obama, who lied his way into office, folks, he calls that peddling fiction. People like myself, when we show the negative economic growth in this country and how that since the panic of 08, 95% of the wealth that is gained has gone to the 1%. So when we're looking at the facts here, the facts show that there's very tough times ahead. So going to oil, for example, oil prices have gone up. They're like $43, $45 a barrel, Brent and West Texas. West Texas being lower at $43, and Brent being at almost $44 and $45. So the stockpiles of U.S. crude keep building. They're producing over 2 million barrels a day more than they're gobbling up. So supply is outstripping demand. They have nowhere to put this oil anymore. All over the world, tankers are filled with it. They don't have any place to store it. But the prices are going up. Why? The markets are rigged. Everything is rigged. This is not a conspiracy theory. I just mentioned to you the ECB study that came out on how the big players get the numbers before anybody else and play the markets accordingly. You know the facts about six banks being convicted of felonies, not charged, convicted of felonies for rigging the LIBOR rates, the interest rates, and the Forex markets, the currency markets, which trade, by the way, at $5.3 trillion a day. Rigged. But of course, no heads rolled, because Obama, the great fraud, the greatest fraud president this country's ever seen, one lie piled on after another with an arrogant attitude. Remember, he was going to convict those folks, those Wall Street white shoe boy criminals. Ray, remember him saying that? And who does he bring in? Eric Holder. Yeah, the attorney general. Yeah, hold this, Eric. You hold nothing but hot air. And he goes back to work for the white shoe boy law firm that protects these criminals, did not bring one person to justice. It's a neo-feudal society. The only justice is just us. Make sure you pay your taxes. Make sure you don't have two drinks when you get in that car. Make sure you obey the letter of the law, while the big criminals get a free ride. Eric Holder, what a disgusting human being. Arrogant. He was the guy under Clinton, that's right. People forgot that. Yeah, when Clinton gave all those pardons. You know, people forget the Clinton story at the end, when Al Gore lost Florida. You know where Clinton went rather than coming out and demanding a recount? Jumped on a plane and left the country. That's right. He was under indictment. And his final acts as president were pardons of criminals. Big financial criminals. Brought to you by Eric Holder. Disgusting. And again, it's an old man behind the curtain with a dog pulling the levers. It's the Wizard of Oz. If the people stand up to them, they go down. And again, going back to where we began this trends this week, that's what Trump has done. He's knocked out the system because there's no one there. Again, look at the faces of the Republican Party. Look against the little boys that he ran against. Marco Rubio, little Marco, as he called him. Lion Ted Cruz. Carson. Nowhere Jeb Bush. Same thing on the Democratic side. It's up to the people. Again, you could look at what's going on in Austria and Germany and criticize them for being right-wing parties because they don't want to take in more refugees. It's your think for yourself. They see it differently. They want to keep their ethnic and traditions going. The point being is that both parties destabilize the ruling parties. And it could be done here because it ain't no party, man. It's a criminal operation. And we're left out and being raped and robbed by the central bankers, the Wall Street gang. Wall Street has hijacked Washington. The facts are there in front of us. So the opportunity now exists for change greater than ever as we see it. And it's all in the facts. The facts are there is no recovery. The facts are when you look at Trump and Clinton, the negative ratings on both of them are quite high. A Rasmussen poll is showing that some 25% of the people would vote for a third party. You're looking at Hillary with a 56% negative rating, and Trump with a 65% negative rating. So the opportunity has never been better. And speaking of opportunities never being better, there's an opportunity coming up real soon right here in Colonial Kingston, New York, on July 22nd and 23rd, the nation's first on-trendpreneur. That's right. If you're going to make your money, you're going to make it on your own, not working for one of the big companies in Slavelandia, an on-trendpreneur, not an entrepreneur, an on-trendpreneur. To see the changes coming before they happen, July 22nd and 23rd. And unlike the other conferences, and we had Gary Null up here, and he was terrific, brought the house down. I had them on the edge of their seats, along with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts and others. This one's not going to be video, because there's going to be a lot of proprietary information in this. It's the nation's first on-trendpreneur conference. And if you want to see what our conferences are like, you can purchase the video at our website, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, with Gary Null, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, and myself. Salenti Roberts Null video. You can see what you're going to get when you come here, but you're not going to get a video this time. And we're going to be holding the conference at our historic 1774 Academy and other historic buildings here in Colonial Kingston, which is 90 miles north of New York City. Take the bus up here or take the train to Rhinebeck. It's a short hop over the river. And we're filling up very fast, and people are coming from all over the world. That's why it's great to be here live as well. They're coming from Chile. They're coming from Hong Kong and Ireland and Italy, from Calgary to L.A. to Jersey. Yeah, Jersey, the New Jersey, not the Jersey over there across the ocean. They're coming from everywhere. So it's a truly international conference. If you're interested, I suggest you call to register. Ask to speak to Taryn. That's with a T. Taryn Clark at the Institute. 845-331-3500. 845-331-3500. And Taryn will also provide information about the area and help you with your planning. Again, this is a truly international conference, the only one of its kind on Trendpreneur. If you're in business and you want to expand your business, you're going to see the directions. If you want to start a new business, you're going to see the ones that provide opportunity. If you're in a profession and need to expand or go into a new profession, On Trendpreneur will put you on trend to help you with that direction. One opportunity after another. And if you don't know where you're going and want to go somewhere, we're going to put you on trend for it. So that's what we're showing very in a highlight that you're not going to get anywhere else. 845-331-3500. Ask to speak to Taryn Clark. We're filling up very fast. People from all over the world are coming, and you're going to want to be here too. That's some of the trends this week. We'll see you next week. And thank you for tuning in to Progressive Radio Network. Sempre baccalare del mano bene. Se ci picchia vanno.